You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneOfUs.net and don't forget your towel.
Are we all going to, like, totally lie to Cargill and tell him that we hated this film just to fuck with him?
What do you mean lie? Yeah.
I'm just saying, if we all team up and, like, get that moment, it's like, where we act all angry and we're like, seriously, Cargill, what the fuck?
No. Why don't we all just go, no, it was fine.
Yeah, no, it was
perfectly acceptable.
I'm going to tell him he ruined my childhood.
It was very workmanlike.
Well, that's a separate thing.
Well, it was no Sinister 2. And that would be accurate, is decidedly no Sinister 2. Yeah. We are talking about Doctor Strange. I don't know which number Marvel film is.
45.
No, not counting like the 80s like Spider-Man episode.
No, it's 616.
Nerd.
Hey, that might actually be a number that pops up in the movies after this at some point.
I'm kind of surprised it didn't in this one.
Yeah. We, of course, you've gotten Cargill, who wrote this with, you know, in theory with John Spates, although, you know, I'm told.
In theory.
I'm told Spates had one sentence left in the script.
WGA arbitration says that this is to be credited to John Spates, Scott Derrickson, and C. Robert Cargill. Well, and it says so, but and when has the WGA ever seen us wrong?
Well, yeah, I mean, Scott Derrickson, who had worked with Cargill on both the Sinister films, is back here to direct this, and they've gotten Benedict Cumberbatch, fan favorite Benedict Cumberbatch, to play the titular Doctor Strange, who is a arrogant but likable surgeon.
So basically, he's Dr. House.
So he's a surgeon.
Yeah, he's Dr. House. Yeah, so he's a surgeon. Yeah, exactly. But who's like, you know, everybody still goes like, okay, you're as good as they. We admit you're as good as you think you are. Fine, but unfortunately, in his super rezzed up badass sports car, he gets into a car accident. His hands are completely ruined. He won't accept it. So,
can we, by the way, note that in a rather wonderful moment at the end of this film, there is actually, in the closing credits, a warning about driving and texting,
yeah.
Which is just, it takes the part of the original origin story and goes, yep, told you all along, kids, and you have become the Sorcerer Supreme.
Of course Stan Lee has been warning us all along. He's always been so prescient.
Well, Steve Ditko's been warning us all along, but I think Steve Ditko's been warning us about the eyes in the skies that are going to come down and steal our kidneys.
True. Probably not correct about that.
Yeah.
Well, that and also in this, we would all be much better if we would just read a whole lot of Ayn Rand.
Anyway, so giving up, you know, trying every avenue he could with Western medicine, nothing works out. So he does what a lot of desperate people do and go, well, I guess I'm going to turn towards the East, when he hears of one guy who was mysteriously cured from total spinal breakage by the powers of magic. So he heads out to Kathmandu, as you do.
As you do.
And ends up meeting up with Baron Mordo, played by Chiwetel Ejiofor, and his master. Boy, that seems awkward to say in this day and age, doesn't it? The Ancient One, played by a decidedly non-ancient-looking Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. We don't know how old Tilda Swinton is. She's kind of ageless.
Yeah, I was like, is she aging backwards?
I think you mean in the real world, right?
Yes,
yeah,
sure.
Okay, because that's what I was thinking.
Sure, the real world.
In this movie as well. And she convinces him, like, by, you know, show, don't tell. Oh, by the way, you're totally wrong about everything you think you know, and here's a whole bunch of cool special effects to show you how you're wrong.
By the way, have you ever enjoyed acid? You're about to get the acid trip of a lifetime.
Yeah, it's like, you take a massive acid dose and are just thrown into a kaleidoscope.
Yeah, this is an example of why you don't chase the high.
So he ends up deciding, okay, I'm going to train to be a master because it's the only way I think I can fix my hands. Only find out, much like with surgery, he's real good at pretty much anything he sets his mind to, including this. In fact, I would say, like, even though this is true to the comics, it is a little distracting and it's got to piss everybody else at that school off that this guy's there for like a week and he's already like, doop 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 doop.
Like, invent reality and move time.
Yeah. One of the things that I like is that, first of all, they made it pretty clear that a lot of time has passed. Not years that it really should have taken.
It seems like maybe 6 months to a year.
Definitely more time than most, like, chosen ones get in the Sacred Temple when they start outdoing everybody. And they also make a point that he's good, he's not the best.
No.
Well, and then more importantly, it's not that how good he is, because that's never the issue. This guy was always, there's a moment where they say, you know, you were made for this. This is what you should be doing. It's your attitude that's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which has been a running thing all the way up to now in the comic books.
Yeah.
They still have that where that's like his Achilles heel is that he's still got that ego.
Well, this is the thing, because the thing with Doctor Strange is if you get him wrong, then he's magic Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's so many similarities in the origin story and the look with Tony Stark that you could just really go down that path really badly. Whereas why Cumberbatch is great for this part is that he has Strange's combination of gravitas and hubris and, at his best moments, humility. And that's where the character lies, and that's where the tension of the character lies. And Cumberbatch gets that so perfectly here. Plus, those moments where you go, they finally find somebody who looks like the character, and they don't have to start redrawing the character in the comics to look like him, which is what happened with Wolverine, that suddenly Wolverine is 6 inches taller in Australia. He looks like Strange. He feels like, the photo model for Steve Ditko. He just has that. If they've done anything, the current Chris Bacallo Strange looks a little bit more like him, but... Yeah, he is Strange, and that really helps in these.
And they've definitely written the character, like in the current run, to bend more towards this. Okay, maybe Strange is a little funnier. Maybe he's also can be a little bit more like quick to freak out for a second before he goes, okay, calm down. I can do this.
Yeah,
you know, the current Strange of the comics definitely more resembles what's happening in this movie, which is like. I feel like they do what they need to do to make him feel more like a real guy.
Yeah.
Which was always an issue in past runs of Doctor Strange. We're like, well, what do we do with this guy? You know, he's this all-powerful sorcerer. How does he relate to people? You know, if you can see through dimensions in every multiverse, how do you make friends?
And they always try to give him, humanize him through a supporting cast, which sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but they always have to, and they inevitably have to be bringing in characters from other worlds or other dimensions or non-humans in order to make it not ridiculous that, like, how is he going to relate to these people?
Well,
you know, he can't, the Doctor Strange in the comics is, he has seen things that no one can imagine, so how is he ever going to go on a date, say, with, you know, someone he met down at the Starbucks in Greenwich Village?
Well, I'm glad that you don't use Rachel McAdams, who's in this, as sort of like a former brief girlfriend, another doctor he actually does respect, you know, and friend from the past. They don't use her as such an anchor to that they do the generic, oh, he's at a low point, and so she's the one who gives him spiritual strength to go on, which is what I was expecting they were going to do. In fact, after the initial dramatic use of her, they pretty much use her for sort of that comic relief of like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, you get the sense that they learned a lesson from like Natalie Portman. Like, Rachel McAdams isn't going to be shoehorned into the sequel out of necessity. Like, she can be there if she wants to, probably.
But they have not written her as a major character in this film.
Yeah,
for sure. As opposed to some of the other characters, like Benedict Wong, who they do great stuff with playing the character of Wong. Much less, definitely not a manservant like he is in the comic books here, just a contemporary magician and the keeper of the library, who is definitely at first very disapproving of Strange and Americans, god damn it, want everything fast and easy, and then later kind of in awe of what the guy can do.
Or at least in respect, because once he realizes that, okay, yeah, he's kind of an arrogant prick, but he can actually back it up. Mm-hmm. All right, we're gonna put you on the advanced track.
Yeah. And then, of course, you have Mads Mikkelsen coming in as the villain Caecilius, who I don't know if he was he native to the comic story before this?
It's kind of hard to say. I don't really think so. Honestly, in the comics, there's a different character who ends up being the major villain for Doctor Strange, who betrays the Ancient One and powers himself up with Dormammu. So Caecilius, I think, was kind of a way of kind of bridging that particular gap so that they could have the storyline that they have in this one. And we know absolutely nothing about him because they never give him anything other than, like, well, his family died. He's kind of pissed about it.
Well, it's interesting that he's, like, such a minor character, apparently, in the comics. He was in Strange Tales number one, but he was a minor character who was a disciple of Mordo, who was originally one of the main villains of Doctor Strange. Yeah. So it's like, okay, yeah, he's this tiny character who barely gets a paragraph on Wikipedia. You know? So then now they can do whatever the fuck they want to. Here, he, as we see right from the beginning, he's got his own group of disciples. He has decided that the path to power is through immortality, and the way to do that is to channel power from the dark dimension, which is ruled by Dormammu, who is a big dick.
Yeah. Dormammu, asshole, which I love the fact that they are managing to build one great thing in that really binds this to the rest of the Marvel Universe, which is there's a certain scale you reach where you go, this is impossibly huge. And what's strange is that unlike everything else, all the other characters there who are, okay, how big a thing do I have to throw at you to kill you? Strange is basically, you know, and this is very explicitly set up. Yeah, we had this in Thor where there was the thing of, you know, magic is just science that is sufficiently far in advance. The whole point of the sorcerers is they have the operational manual for the universe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's a mechanic for the cosmos, which is beautifully done. And so, therefore, his solution's at his best. I mean, there are points where he's got big action sequences of running around and the world is collapsing or shifting or changing around him. But then he's the smart guy who goes, what's the solution I have to do to make this easier? To make this a fix that actually won't, you know, just drop another building on another big monster's head. And that's why this script works.
It makes for a fresh breath of relief when the third act is beginning to show you a lot of what you've seen in almost every Marvel movie, and that it's a big giant hole in the sky. But the ultimate resolution does come in something different that you haven't seen in any of the other Marvel movies.
And yeah, it's interesting because he always, like you said, goes for the easy and obvious, why didn't I see that solution that nobody else sees? Yeah, he's that mechanic who's like, this is not Iron Man. I'm not using my wits to build stuff to punch people with. I'm using my wits while people are punching each other to find something that they hadn't noticed to defuse them completely and cut them off at the ankle.
Which is one of the reasons I'm really excited to see how they fold him into the rest of the universe. Because one of the core things is in the Marvel Universe has always been, while Strange and Stark do have these similarities, what they are totally opposite in their worldviews and in how they operate. And we now have a point where I'm going, oh, I really hope you turn up in Infinity Wars. I really hope you turn up and go, what are you idiots doing? Do you not get what a terrible, terrible plan this is?
Yeah, well, he's also the guy that basically figures out that the way to solve something is to break everything around it until something else works, which is something that drives a lot of the other characters crazy. It's like, you're not supposed to do that. Well, it worked. Yeah, but you're not supposed to do that.
Which I suspect even the movie warns us eventually he's going to find, yeah, you weren't supposed to do that. That was bad. And now there's going to be bad things.
Yeah, congratulations. You found this new amazing power source. Too bad it opened a portal to hell.
Yeah, pretty much. And like we said, I think Cumberbatch really nails this material. In fact, I really like pretty much everybody in here. I know it was a controversial choice for some, for Tilda Swinton playing the Ancient One. I personally don't really have as big a problem with it because they're playing this whole thing in a very different way than the comic books did. And it kind of makes sense, her being like this sort of, wow, you could be almost from anywhere type thing. Maybe you didn't even used to look like this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And as well, if you were to go the traditional way, then you have the other flip side of the coin where it's like, okay, now you're doing stuff that feels like cliched, ancient wise Japanese master, you know? So.
Or Nepalese.
Yeah. Or Nepalese. Yeah.
Although, so, you know, God, 15 years ago, they would have cast Gede Watanabe in there as like as quirky ancient one who tells puns. No.
Well, let's talk about the magic and how that works.
Oh, this is beautiful.
Yeah, one of the things that I liked about this is the way that they figured out how to make the, you know, the Ditko given the horns work is instead of, you know, Strange sitting there waving, you know, waving the Malocchio at someone, they basically went with the martial arts movies and everyone is using the jutsu from Naruto. So they're making all these constant little hand gestures and then suddenly big glowing discs show up around their hands.
Mm-hmm. In combat magic, to be sure. Now, there's the other side of it, which is that reality-altering magic, where they're, like, literally making the world twist and turn beneath them and the gravity change as they're running through stuff like they're in Inception viewed through a kaleidoscope. That, like, you know, is an early sequence that's really cool, but then later, when they use it again, where it's just a full-blown chase sequence and everybody is trying to use their own powers to escape or be stopped. I thought that was actually pretty much the knockout sequence of this film.
There's a great sequence where they're running down the street and unable to escape this the dimension they've been put into, which, like you said, it looks like a kaleidoscope. And Mads Mikkelsen's character, Cassilius, and his nameless disciples.
One of them, Scott Adkins.
He was so excited. Scott. And then in the end, he came to the credits. He was Scott Adkins. He was so excited.
They're running down. Cars are coming at them, and they're just moving their hands. And all of a sudden, the cars are just like splitting in half and shifting around them. Not like the car is divided in half, but it's like a mirror refracted image on both sides.
Yeah,
just moves around them and continues like they weren't even there. And it is one of those moments where you know that people are going to come to this movie having timed their acid just perfectly to kick in at this point.
Actually, I think you can pretty much just start driven from the get-go on this one. You'll be good. Do you notice the new Marvel title sequence for this one?
Yeah, they were using a lot of... Instead of doing, like, the flipping pages and the clips from the comics, they just had the, like, painted imagery of all of the actors as their characters.
Yeah. Well, and because now there's been enough movies where now you can just have little highlights from every movie. I don't know how I felt about it.
I thought that each phase starts after an Avengers film. Although maybe. I thought they, but they did say last time that was it. Ant-Man was actually after Avengers. But I thought they said they considered that the end of Phase Two.
Yeah, Ant-Man was the end of Phase Two.
This is still
Civil War
was like the beginning of Phase Three.
They make a direct connection when Strange is being his agent is telling him about surgeries he might perform. One of them is Rhodey having fallen out of the sky in the War Machine armor,
which is as close as we get, at least pre-credit sequence, to an appearance by another character from the universe.
Oh, I must have missed that part, because I was wondering, like, throughout the timeline, when everything takes place and what else is happening, you know, simultaneously.
The movies all take place more or less in the time when they're released,
an aspect of the other Avengers movies.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They take place chronological order, so Doctor Strange takes place after Civil War.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So let's go to final thoughts then. JC, you want to start us out?
Yeah, I'm probably the least familiar with the comics. I have a rudimentary, you know, knowledge of who Doctor Strange is from when I did read comics as a kid. So, I mean, this was more in line with my expectations of the movie. I was happy to see a lot of different things that you haven't seen in a lot of Marvel movies, because I made the joke that there's been 45 of them at this point. I love them. I always defend them, but I mean, I am slightly leaning to the point where there may be too many of them or too many similar things keep happening in them. And I even made reference to it looks like the beginning of the third act that you've seen in all the other movies, but it ends up being slightly different, which I was happy with. I thought it nailed the humor. The humor when it attempted it was really funny. It never really missed. Nothing really made me groan. All the performances were really solid. There's been so many movies at this point. It's hard to call this one the best Marvel movie. And middle of the road might even sound like faint praise, but I mean, I really did like this movie. I don't know how much mileage I'll get out of rewatching it, but I would give it 6.5 amulets out of 10.
Harris?
Visually, it is gorgeous. They do some stuff in this that you don't see in really in action movies in general, and even like even the stuff that we compare to movies like Inception, they take in different and unique directions. But the storyline is kind of rote and cliche. I mean, I appreciate that they went with the martial arts movie aspect of it, and that's actually a really good way of making his costume make sense, because otherwise, it, like, trying to translate his costume into the Marvel Universe and make it work in the real world would kind of be stupid if they went with the disco collar that he has otherwise. But the story, like I said, the storyline is tropey as hell, and it isn't really surprising, deep, or go in directions you don't really expect. That being said, I did appreciate a lot of really deep cuts that they dropped in this. So you'll get references to things like the Living Tribunal or the Wands of Watoom, which if you're really a nerd, you're going to realize that's what Wong is using in the climax. And other than that, it was pretty... it was light and fluffy, and it's one of those ones that it's good, but it's not going to stand out from the pack, I think. So I'm going to give it... 7 hoary hosts of Hoggoth out of 10. Mm-hmm.
And Richard!
I find it strange that you say that this is light and fluffy, because the first act is by far the darkest Marvel film to date. Because nothing supernatural happens for ages, and you have this guy who is just on a path to self-destruction, which is why you need an actor of the weight of Cumberbatch to make that plausible. And then, you know, and then you put him in a superhero universe. And I think that works extraordinarily well. This is, Derrickson definitely stepping up to the big leagues and proving not only can he handle a film of this scale, but to do it with incredible personality. Yeah. And to make what could have just been an effects reel feel coherent, and to create magic that both builds on what they've put in there before and expands upon it rather wonderfully. Mikkelsen's character is a little bit sketchily put together, but I'd still argue better than a lot of the Marvel villains at this point, which consistently is still their weak point. I have to give this 8 unblocked chakras out of 10.
You know, like in most of the origin films, the villain is there mainly to be sort of a dark reflection of what the character, main character, could become, and serves really for the character to have that springboard to become who he's going to become. He's a plot device, and this one's a little more interesting of a plot device than I think we've seen in some of the other ones, certainly because he looks really cool. They did some weird, crazy, like, Halloween disco makeup on Mikkelsen.
We've seen a lot of that makeup at conventions and Halloweens for years to come.
Yeah, they're going to have to pull out the purple glitter in large quantities. It's Mikkelsen, who's just such a good actor. He's so good at playing the heavy and stuff. And no, we don't get maybe as much of him. I mean, there's no, and now it's the scene where we see him discussing his evil plan, because it would have been unnecessary, quite frankly. We're not going to be seeing this character again in these films anyway. So it's like, yeah, that's not why he's here. Really, one of my favorite aspects of this was how they chose to make the cloak work, which is let's make the cloak the sidekick comic relief.
Yeah, it's practically the flying carpet from Aladdin, and it's got a personality of its own, which really comes out. Which is pretty impressive for something without a face.
That's maybe the strongest decision they made on this film, other than the way to show that reality bending magic, which is, like I said, kind of a visual, whoa, that was really cool to watch. It'll be interesting to see as they continue to do more stuff with Doctor Strange. They can't keep falling back on the same tricks, if you will, so they're going to have to figure out other things to melt our brains with. But for this, it's really cool. Overall, I thought this was completely a success. I mean, do I agree that it is in many ways treading on familiar ground with other Marvel films? Well, yeah. I mean, it's a Marvel film. They're all part of the formula to some extent. And yeah, I think it might be time for them to start thinking, okay, maybe it's time for us to break away from absolutely what's worked every time and try some, change it up a bit. But that's scary. And for something that is relying on formula, I think it does a top-notch job. This is actually one of the best of the first movies for character far. You know, it's definitely right up there with Iron Man for me as far as that goes. Whereas I think a lot of people, we've gotten so used to like movies where there's going to be eight other characters in it now, that this might feel slow to some, you know, because it does take a while to get to where it's going to go. But, you know, Cumberbatch carries it. I really enjoyed this all the way through. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 slingy rings. I'm going to call them slingy. I know they're called sling rings, but I like slingy ring better.
Slinky ring.
Those things will always make my fingers kind of hurt, because I look at those and all of a sudden I can think, it's like, okay, now you can't move to your fingers.
Yeah, man, there's going to be some like fights breaking out at Comic-Con when they start selling those things, you know?
Yeah, people are going to use them as knuckle dusters.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to be danger. Anybody wanted to say anything now that we are past the point where we can talk about spoilers?
One thing I really do like...
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoiler. One of the things I do like, and this is something that's definitely to Derrickson and Cargill's credit, is the growing discontent that Mordo has. Like, it's not a case of someone who's lusting for power and feeling like his master is holding him back. It's not a case of, you know, I've got secret desires and I'm only here because I want to get my end goal. He's a true believer, and when he finds out why the Ancient One is so ancient, he's disillusioned. Like, you actually see him at the point, it's like, okay, we're going to have to work together because there's bigger shit going on right now, but as soon as this is done, you and me, we're having some words about this.
Yeah, it kind of makes him go crazy, as we discover. Because the idea, like, I was a true believer, and now instead I'm going to kill every other, or take the power away from every other sorcerer, that's a crazy person. Mm-hmm. That's a crazy person decision to make based on that. But yeah,
I mean, the thing is, this is very much like Civil War. That you have to have him, you have to have a degree of logic behind there. And it's not just a crazy person going, blah, 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 steal all your power. It's a guy going, so everything we've done has come with this problem attached. That, you know, if we've always been taught that there are consequences to our actions. And what the Ancient One did led to Cassellus, which led to the world almost ending. We're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, you know, it's clear that that's going to be built upon as time goes on, that he isn't just some guy who's crazy for power, that he's going, your way of saving the world is what endangers us.
They did an interesting thing with that idea in the comics recently, where Strange discovers Wong and the other sorcerers have for decades been keeping, you know, back in Nepal, a trained army of people whose job is just to die. Who are there because they know Doctor Strange is the main thing keeping our world from being destroyed by other forces. Their job is to be the one to take the consequences. And all the consequences from the heavy shit he does gets redirected and they just die horribly.
Yeah.
Like, by groups. And he finds this out and he's like, no, y'all can't do this. This is horrible. You can't do this anymore. He's like, good luck, man. Then you're on your own. I don't know how that's going to play out for you.
The other thing I really like is how how they beat the main villain, in this case Dormammu, not by, like you said, dropping something big on him or punching him even harder this time, but by basically annoying the living shit out of him.
Yeah, actually having the defeat of the villain be a comedy sequence. You know, you're like...
A rather splendid one.
Yeah. You just, how many times
again,
can you die?
That's part of why the character evolution works, that this is about a guy who is understanding the bigger picture. And understanding that he's not just in a bigger picture, but he has an ability to reframe.
And now with the Ancient One,
to change everything.
Now with the Ancient One gone, he is the only guy there is for this job, pretty much.
Yeah. By the way, saying it now, the sequel will not be called Doctor Strange 2, it'll be called Doctor Strange Sorcerer Supreme. I'm saying it!
Yeah.
Let's be honest, that's where they're going.
They're not
going
to call it Doctor Stranger?
No.
No?
No.
It's Strange Harder?
Mr. Doctor.
Mr. Doctor.
They call me Strange.
They still call me Strange.
Kindergarten Strange.
Doctor Strange meets Abbott and Costello.
Ah!
I had to go there. I always do.
I'm just kind of curious, if they do involve him into Infinity War, how they're going to stop him from just magicking Thanos into another dimension?
Because Thanos himself will have his hands on several of the Infinity, or the stones. He's got one. Mm-hmm. As we know, the Eye Agamotto is now the Infinity Stone, but if you've also got the Reality Stone and the you know, all those others, you got one lousy stone, buddy. Come on.
I'm trying to think. Have we seen all of the Infinity Stones at this point?
I can't remember. We're missing one now. Now that we've seen Infinity.
I think the only one we may be missing is the Soul Gem.
Because Thor's mind. The one in the Loki Scepter.
Yeah, that's Avengers is the Mind Gem. Dark World is, I want to say, it's either space or reality.
I want to say that's space, actually.
I can't imagine the Spider-Man movie will have an Infinity Stone in it.
Yeah, well, it would be weird if it did.
Yeah, well, Ant-Man didn't, so I guess, yeah, Spider-Man shouldn't.
Guardians have one.
Yeah, that one was power.
That was power.
Yeah. So, like, this...
And this one was time.
This was time.
Well, isn't there mind and reality, too? Or are we doubling
we already on doubled on mind. Okay. There's mind, power, right, soul, reality, space, and...
Damn it!
I know. I'm like, that's too many, though. We're doubling up.
I did love the throwaway line where it's like, oh yeah, you probably shouldn't walk around with an Infinity Stone around your neck. And it's like,
just to clarify for the audience, in case you hadn't figured it out, that is in fact a Infinity Stone. So we will be coming back to this at some point. It's six Infinity Gems. Six. So is that all of them? I don't know. Someone speak.
we're busy trying to figure this out. Okay so there's soul.
There's soul, time, space, mind, reality, and power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we are headed down a rabbit hole here, folks.
And then,
this is great radio now. It's like, it's the sound of people Googling.
Apparently they've introduced two other stones in alternate universes. There's ego and rhythm, not making that up.
Yeah, no. Rhythm.
That's a Beyonce has that one.
Yeah, that would explain why she is always on beat.
That would be what would be in the ring that is put upon it.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Mm. Anyway, anybody else have anything else to add to this?
Nope.
All right. Go see Doctor Strange. Make up your own mind.